Mike Fischetti is executive director of the National Contract Management Association, part of our special report on acquisition this week. Mike, thank you for being on the program. As always, Congress is talking a little bit about acquisition right now. We have FATARA, some other pieces of legislation that are hanging around out there. But is it your sense that that talk is turning into any kind of action that's making a difference in the acquisition community and in the acquisition equation with the federal government on one side and the vendor community on the other side, Mike?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think that I think Congress is listening. I know that there's committees have been collecting comments, and the nature of the comments seems to be kind of all over the place. You know, there's no necessarily consensus or trend, and I think it's just reflective of what a lot of people are feeling. There's a lot of different opinions and concepts of what acquisition should be, and everything from blow it up and start from scratch to we need to buy more like commercial, we maybe need tweaking of existing law and regulation. So I don't think there's any particular trend. I do believe it's certainly on their on the Congress's radar, and they want to hear, and I think they want to do the right thing, honestly. But I don't know if there's any consensus, and it's going to be interesting to see how they react to this in the short run.
You hit on a couple of themes there that we've heard throughout this special report, Mike, and one of them is that there are the good news is that at least people are talking about this stuff. Another one that you hit on is that there is a wide variety of opinion about what the right next move or moves will be to make. But there's one theme there that kind of underlies what you said, and I think is also important to think about, and that is nobody seems to disagree that something is necessary, that there is still plenty of room for improvement in this process. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But I would add that, to put it in perspective, contracting, acquisition is a very visible issue. You know, people know when there's a protest. People know when a website doesn't go up properly. You know, people know if a plane doesn't, perform as it's expected to after, many billions of dollars spent. But I would argue that it's also a symptom of other concerns within an agency or within an enterprise. So, everybody knows about the contracting issue, but there's a lot that goes on behind that gets to that point. And so I don't know if you can always point to the process or to the acquisition workforce specifically, or the contracting officers, or even particular companies. I think it takes a long time, and there's a lot involved and a lot of infrastructure that can result in whatever the issue is that's on the horizon there. And in an outsourced environment, it's become ever more important. Things are done through contract.
And one of the issues that I seem to be hearing more about, in particular during the special report, but in general and just in covering this stuff, is that maybe we don't need more infrastructure. Maybe we need less infrastructure, especially in the way of the statute and regulation and so on, policies that exist. Maybe a pullback is what's really going to help to give some of these folks, especially the COs that are actually doing it, some breathing room and fewer things to think about throughout the process.
Possibly. I think, it gets back to judgment and professionalism. I wasn't necessarily a big proponent of rewriting the federal acquisition regulations back when they rewrote the, FAR 15. I think, the tools are there. Existing regulation allows for a wide variety of things to be happening. It's just a matter of how we implement it and when we implement it. And it gets back to before the acquisition process even begins, the determination of the requirements. What it is that the government's trying to do, and how did they come to the determination of what it is they need to buy? How well have they looked at it, what industry is doing and the offerings there? How well have they reviewed their own internal business processes and the method by which they're accomplishing a particular mission before they go off and find a source and buy something to accomplish it?
The requirements thing is tough because a lot of that has to do with just dealing with human nature. I mean, you want the coolest car that you can buy, but you can't necessarily afford it. I'd love to have a Mustang convertible, but I'm a little bit more of they don't make Escorts anymore, but that's that's what I drove for a long time despite my desires. And I wonder if we might start to see that mentality creep into the requirements process a little bit more, or if you and your members, the vendors that you deal with, are seeing any of that, or if it's still kind of a little bit of the shiny object syndrome.
Well, all of the above, I guess. You've heard about LPTA. Certainly, it's become an infamous acronym for, low price, technically acceptable. But the key point is technically acceptable. What is technically acceptable? And then, gosh, if, like you said, if I can buy a car and it's going to go 200,000 miles without any major issues, you know, and you told me that you know, a Ford Escort will do that, and maybe that's the way we ought to go, you know. So I think there's a lot of the requirements side, which involve everybody in an agency, that starts with the top and all the way down to the rank and file. Pretty much most agencies are in one form or another overseeing some sort of contracted process, and I think that's part of it, is everybody owning up to that responsibility.
Well, and everybody, yes, and everybody assuming a role in it, and we have a change at the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. Ann Rung is in there, and we have some pretty good ideas that we've heard from all across the community about some things that she might be able to do to make a difference in the time that she will have there, unless something unusual happens and she carries over to the next administration. She's bound to leave that job in January of 2017, so she has just a little bit over 2 years to make a difference there. There are any number of things where the changes and reforms that people think should happen could come from, right, Mike?
Yes, sir, and I don't believe it's necessarily legislative. I think it's leadership, it's smart people, a lot of people already involved in this process. Many have ideas, and let's make sure that, you know, before we act, that we ask everybody involved what they think, you know. So I know that there's, you know, particularly some associations and companies, you know, might have a louder voice than others, but let's make sure that, you know, we're doing the right thing before we leap, because we've had plenty of reform, we've had plenty of commissions. I think one of the best, the most successful examples of good reform was where we did have a commission, you know, go off and kind of look at that Section 800 panel, really go back and do a concerted study over time and come back with really quality solutions that could be implemented. So, you know, to put out some feelers and get some information back quickly, and then I mean, moving out, you know, say by the end of the year or early next, it's hard to believe that the solutions will have been well thought through and you know, can get us where we want to go.
Are you confident that the people that need to be heard from, the potential stakeholders that are involved here that should be heard from, are being heard from? You talked a little bit about the congressional comments issue at the beginning of our conversation, and that's pretty easy. I mean, anybody that wants to comment can comment in that process. But the other areas, do you think the voices that need to be heard are being heard, Mike?
I think not always. I think we could always do better. I think, you know, certainly within an executive branch and the legislative branch and industry, I think everybody has been being polled and asked, and I think it's just a matter of how you take those views and making sure that, you know, get down a little bit down to the rank and file, you know, the so-called bureaucracy. Those are people that are trying to do a good job, and probably there's a good reason why or why not things didn't happen, things that maybe are not necessarily issues people want to hear, but, you know, sometimes that has to happen. It comes down to leadership or management issues, things that are not exactly unique to the contracting workforce. You know, you could argue those in any large business or bureaucracy.
The tricky part is, in any reform, is figuring out how you look back on what's happened and ascertain that it's been valuable. Is there a way to do that with acquisition reform, or is it kind of a case of we'll know it when we see it?
It's hard to say, you know, it's hard to measure because things are so complex. There's nothing, one thing doesn't look like the other. Certain things easily to be measured was, you know, the invention of the purchase card system or simplified acquisition threshold. You know, we're able to process many, many more simplified activities faster, cheaper, less human intervention and that sort of thing. I think that, you know, those things can be measured and can be looked at with success, but when you get to the large business, you know, the large complex weapon systems and services and IT convergence and that sort of thing, and you know, innovative solutions, and why isn't the government reacting and bringing on commercial products and services faster or at least at the same pace as on the outside sector? There's a lot of complexity there that's hard to necessarily measure. But I think it gets back to the right people in the workforce and the professional workforce. And I do believe that's the best conversation that we have going on now is, you know, improving the quality professionalism of our workforce. I think that needs to be key one. So instead of being maligned or insulted or argued, or, you know, that they don't want to do the right thing, and getting good smart people, as you know, smart buyers, smart program managers, smart executives involved, I think that's the answer.
The people issue, the acquisition workforce, is one area of unanimity. There's nobody that I've talked to that hasn't said some variation of we need to support and enhance and train and incent the acquisition workforce to do a better job than they're doing, not to imply they're not doing a good job now.
Right, exactly. So the answer isn't, oh, you know, everybody needs to take a new class called X, you know, or, you know, everybody needs to get a new certificate and such and such. I think it's a long-term process to improve and rebuild our workforce to be what we want it to be. And I think the first step is certainly supporting them, allowing hiring managers to, you know, reach in deeper into the candidate pool. And it may be more of an issue on the hiring side than it is on the acquisition side. It's not a matter of good managers not being able to, maybe it's a matter of not being able to hire who they want to, as opposed to, you know, improving the workforce we have.
Mike, those are all the questions I have for you. I appreciate your time very much. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Have a great weekend, and we'll let you know when this runs on the air.
Okay, thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.